This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
I'm back with another guest, actually a special guest this week on PT Talker. I want to first of all thank you for joining us this week for another episode where we are going to discuss the Medicare, and not just Medicare, but they have the big guns, but third-party insurance reimbursement compliance and why you should care. Joining us to help us dig through all this is Helene Farron. And Helene, welcome to PT Talker.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well,
happy to be here.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of people probably recognize your name because you are not only the owner, you are a physical therapist, and you are the owner of a private practice there in Phoenix, Arizona. But more importantly, you have gained acclaim in our industry, and I guess I'll say you're world-renowned for your Farron and Levin Consulting. Levine, is that how I say
Levin.
Farron and Levin Consulting, where you actually deal with payment and policy. You've got expertise coming from the APTA. Let's quickly fill everybody in on your background before we get into the meat of our conversation.
Yes. Actually, I own a private practice in Phoenix with my husband and have done so for about almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, back in the mid-90s, I got involved in the area of coding through being representative of the APTA to the CPT process. And that kind of grew along a path where I became more involved in the whole area of payment policy for rehab services based on that involvement initially in the coding area.
Mm-hmm.
So it has brought me to have a lot of experiences in not only teaching and training and how to use the codes correctly, but also looking at it from a third-party perspective in terms of what comes in the claims door, kind of reflecting the services the physical therapists provide in their various practice settings in the outpatient arena.
Mm-hmm. So now, I'm just curious, when you were with the APTA on that committee, you actually were giving input for the CPT codes and how they would be used and coded and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, back in the 90s, the APTA was asked to participate along with about seven other non-physician professionals
mm-hmm.
and groups to be able to represent the non-physician in the CPT process. Prior to that time, it was pretty much just physicians who basically revised, edited, and added new codes to the CPT system. And because of the fact that the physical therapists have to use CPT codes to report services for third-party payment, AMA expanded that representation. So basically, at that time, the codes that were available for physical therapists to report their services had been developed back in the 60s and didn't represent current practice. So over the course of the past 18 years, the codes have gradually changed to represent physical therapy practice in a better way. Not perfect by any means, but have been kind of transitioning to better reflection of what physical therapists do in the clinic. So basically, the codes are used to report to a third party what it is you do with your patients.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's get in now to our topic for today. You feel very strongly, and I think you have a practice that is advises physical therapists who find themselves in an audit situation. And I guess one of the things that I'd like to explore is how serious is this audit that can occur from any of the third-party payers and go back and ask physical therapists to prove what they've done and compliance, and why should the average physical therapist that's out there listening care about that?
Well, as long as there is a third-party payment system, such as it exists in the United States, there's going to be some sort of way for the third party to make sure that they are actually paying for something that was provided in a certain way. And so for every third-party payer, they are going to have a way to look at their claims from a retrospective perspective, which will be the audit. Medicare being the largest payer, the largest third payer in the country, has probably the most extensive program to look back at and to see what they have paid for and to make sure it was done appropriately. So there's a lot of audits going on right now because of all the focus on third-party payment through even the healthcare reform initiatives that have been going on in the past year. So auditing, I think the audit, the opportunity to be audited, let's put it that way, is probably greater now because of the pressure on payment and the pressure on being able to meet the benefits needs as far as paying for the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare in particular has, I don't know, five or six different ways that they can actually audit the provider. And some of those are through your local payer, your contractor that actually pays you for your Medicare claims. Some of them are through Medicare itself as an organization nationally. And some of them are through other agencies like the Office of Inspector General that gets involved in protecting the benefit. So because of all the different ways that your claims can be looked at and the scrutiny that's on the claim in terms of trying to control costs and utilization, I think that therapists in particular are probably being looked at a little bit more, maybe a little bit more intensely than other providers. Plus our treatment patterns. You know, we see patients oftentimes multiple times a week over the course of several weeks or months or in some cases years. So because of that practice pattern, we tend to be submitting claims at a higher volume than other providers and therefore hitting maybe the claims audit process a little bit more often.
So, okay. So what are some of the things then that therapists need to be aware of? And I guess I'm curious, if I own a practice and I've got five therapists and therapist one treats a patient in a specific way, and patient two treats them in a totally different way but for the same diagnosis, am I at some risk in this audit procedure? Because it would appear to me that, what are they auditing?
Well, I think when physical therapists are looked at from a claims data perspective, there are about 77 CPT codes that are used by PTs, OTs, and speech pathologists. And there are 48 of those codes fall under the physical medicine and rehab section of CPT.
Mm-hmm.
So many payers will carve those codes out to specifically target in to look and see, okay, how did this therapist bill us for the services that were provided to this patient with this diagnosis? And so a variation in terms of treatment can get the attention of the auditor. For example, low back pain patient being treated by one therapist who's billing for a lot of modalities and hardly any active exercise or training codes could be targeted more than a therapist who sees the same, diagnosis but uses a lot of exercise. Now, is that necessarily bad? No. I mean, I could have a patient who's very acute who I need to treat with certain modalities before I can even get close to being able to do exercises. But that is what the audit triggers is a code. And so when they look and drill down into your documentation, then maybe, this is totally understandable why this therapist is billing this way. But when you see a pattern that's not changing or a pattern of codes that seems to be kind of stuck in a repetitive trend of billing just for passive care, then that's going to increase the audit activity and increase the level of scrutiny in terms of looking at actual records.
Okay.
So patterns of coding, patterns of treatment that differ could be easily explained, but could trigger the audit, and then the audit process will continue.
Now, I hear a lot of talk out there. There are software packages and certainly with healthcare reform, the electronic records management and all that kind of stuff, and there's compliance is being thrown around a lot. Can you tell me why therapists should be worried or concerned or care about compliance, and how are these companies using that term?
Well, first of all, compliance is being able to meet the required guidelines or policies that the third party is saying they set up so that when you see a patient who's under their benefit, they are requiring that you do things a certain way to report that service so that they can see if you meet their policy requirements. So if, for example, Medicare requires that you have a physician actually sign a document called the plan of care that states that you're going to see this patient for this diagnosis, you're going to treat for this diagnosis, you're going to see them in a certain way in terms of reaching certain goals, and you're going to do it by using certain interventions, and you're going to do it within a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. And then they require that a physician actually concur with that or change it and then sign that in order for you to be compliant with their benefit and get paid under their benefit. That's one example. I could give you, you know, probably hundreds of examples that other insurance companies use and Medicare uses, but basically you're being compliant with their rules and regulations in order to get paid for the services under their benefit.
So are you saying that they're all different then, and that's part of where the challenge comes in for one PT to keep track of 50 insurance companies?
Well, I was going to say is that actually it's getting easier. People may not like it, but it's getting easier because most insurance companies are kind of falling under the Medicare compliance regulations.
Okay.
And the bad news is that it's, you know, could be, you know, administratively burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that you are finding more and more third parties coalescing around that policy. And so if, you know, if we as a organization, facility, clinic, or even as a professional association can affect that big, you know, Medicare compliance program, then maybe that will get see things get a little bit better. But there are other insurance companies as well that do tend to have their own little ways of wanting to regulate their benefits. So if you follow Medicare, you're probably hitting the largest, most probably comprehensive compliance requirements,
mm-hmm.
but you do have to pay attention as a therapist, especially in private practice, to what maybe your local or regional payers may also have as additional compliance requirements. And, that, and Blue Cross Blue Shield is one that, you know, they're each individual associations. So your Blue Cross Blue Shield plans will often, you know, have maybe some local or regional compliance efforts you have to do pay attention to.
Okay. So the bottom line is then some of these software packages that are out there would help you to make sure the plan of care is in the, you know, has been done and signed and all that business.
Exactly. A lot of the software programs will give you compliance alerts that when as you're documenting and as your program is telling you that has been inputted that certain compliance rules have to be followed, the program will alert you to say, oh, you know, you're closing this record. Did you do this? Or did you remember to update this? So a lot of the software programs are providing compliance alerts, which is a lifesaver for therapists because it makes them much more efficient in terms of meeting these needs.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the top areas that you're going to hit in terms of compliance requirements for insurance companies or audits that they will come back on to see if you are compliant, really focus on the timed codes. CPT codes, the majority of them are timed by a 15-minute descriptor. So how you report your time and how you bill for your time is probably one of the biggest audit areas that your listeners should pay attention to.
Okay.
And then the second thing is probably going to be more of the technical requirements, like the signed plan of care, recertification of that plan of care in terms of how your patient progresses and is updated. How you document functional goals and functional return of the patient based on your treatment plan. Those are some of the key areas they should be watching for.
Perfect. Okay. So the time codes and then some of the specifics as far as making sure the plan of care is accurate and are some of the key things that listeners could do right now.
Right.
Okay. All right. Perfect. We are sadly out of time, but this was very informative.
Thank you.
You know, do you see just in the last 30 seconds here, is there any kind of an alarm going up, or are there more? I know you said that the audits are taking place and always will be there because of our system, but are things different now? Is this kind of a touchy time for this audit business to be going on right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of focus on audits in the area of rehab. Due to the variation in practice, due to the trends that I've talked to you about before, due to the lack of consistent knowledge of what the rules are. So I would just say that physical therapists should probably, you know, make sure that they're aware of the basic regulations. Medicare is very transparent. You can go on their website and download the policy, benefit policy manual, and get the rule book. And I would say right now, because of the pressure to, you know, to look at costs and to fund health care reform, that this is a way that the government is recouping a lot of money. So I would be especially alert now.
Okay. All right. As they say, follow the money. So, all right. Well, we have been discussing compliance and payment and policy and all those fun third-party insurance payer issues with Helene Farron, who has been our guest today on PT Talker. I want to thank you, Helene, for giving us so much of your time this morning.
Thank you, Jeff.
She is living in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm sure would be happy to answer any questions should you have one. Send an email to me at feedback@PTTalker, and we'll be happy to forward that on. And certainly would want to remind all of you to share the good news about PT Talker.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical,
bringing
you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.
And help someone get well today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now, and thanks for listening.